Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here we have another very fun conversation for you all with reigning Korn Ferry Tour Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year, Johnny Kiefer. Only one of three players to ever do that was Sung Jae-im and Scottie Scheffler. Johnny is a bubble boy with 3 weeks left on the PGA Tour season, number 71 in the season-long race. We talk about his rookie season, his career up to this point, a very interesting career going from PGA Tour Americas to the Korn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour, a very fast rise for Johnny. And then we get into some other fun stuff too. Before you give it a listen, be sure to like, subscribe, comment so we can keep some of these conversations going. And without further ado, here's Johnny. Johnny Kiefer, welcome to the program. First question, are we still going by Johnny? Because I've seen your name in field lists. John Kiefer the fourth, John Kiefer, Johnny Kiefer. What is the correct name we should be calling you?
I think I'd have to go with Johnny, but I am honestly like the least picky person. You can call me whatever. I think Johnny is probably what I would prefer though.
Are John Kiefer 1, 2, and 3 great grandfather, grandfather, dad?
Yep. Yeah.
Are you going to continue the tradition whenever you start a family and add a fifth?
You know, I haven't gotten to that point yet, thankfully. I think we'll see how it is and kind of see if it's okay with the fiance or wife at that point. We'll kind of cross those roads whenever we get there.
Yeah, probably not the question you're expecting off the rip. But I know your dad is the one who got you into golf. I was reading that you were playing lacrosse before you got into golf. I guess I'm curious to get your perspective. This day and age, it seems like kids in particular are getting specialized into one sport super early and kind of boxed out from playing a bunch of other sports. A decade on, kind of looking back, do you see the benefits of playing lacrosse and team sports, you know, now as a professional golfer?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd have to more think like just personality wise and mm-hmm. Like the love of the game, like has stayed with me as I've gone and progressed. I didn't get fried and just exhausted of it. And I didn't think it got boring or old. I was always really excited whenever I got on the golf course. I got to, make different friends outside of golf, which I think is pretty important. But I don't think development wise, it would have hurt or helped one way or the other. But I don't regret, not specializing. I honestly think that I'm thankful I did it. Mm-hmm. I probably would have burnt out. There are a lot of other kids that would specialize and they got burnt out pretty easily. I'm really thankful. I actually miss lacrosse sometimes, which is funny. I mean, I wouldn't have done anything in it, but, there's always the side of me that's like, oh, you know, I kind of wish that I could play a game or go practice or just shoot some and all that stuff. But I don't think that it's necessary to specialize. I don't think It helps really that much too. And honestly, I think it would hurt more than it would help.
What position did you play?
I was midfield, so I was running both ways.
In shape.
Some would say not anymore. I'm old now. I can't run up and down. I'd probably run one way and then just get burnt out and just go, okay, sub me out.
Take me off.
Take me off now.
So I guess you could say you had a bit of a patient approach into golf. And then I'm curious to hear the college approach of coming back for the fifth year and kind of everything that went into that decision too, because that is kind of an unorthodox position to take this day and age also.
Yeah. I think one of the unique things was I had a PGA Tour America's card pretty much my fourth year. I think I was like 17th on PGA Tour U. And I don't know, I just through talking with my family and honestly just kind of self-evaluating, I didn't think I was ready. I thought I needed a little bit more time. One, just maturity wise, just like, you know, actually being a professional and knowing that this is going to be my job. So just, you know, learning how to maintain my body. You know, I was always super focused on school, and I think that was a really important thing for me to do. But I didn't really get any time to just mainly focus on golf, especially the last, you know, few semesters of my college career. I've got to do that and actually go through the process of, okay, well, I can wake up, do my own schedule, work out, eat, do whatever I need to do, practice, you know, throughout the entire day, you know, do 30 minutes of homework, which was pretty much all I had to do the last year. And, you know, actually be like a true professional. And I think that was really helpful for me. And, it was kind of interesting, you know, kind of passing up the PGA Tour America's card. 'Cause what if I didn't get it and, you know, finished 25th, just barely. So, who knows? And I'm thankful for the decision now. I think it was definitely the right decision.
So when you got to playing on America's, did you feel like you were playing with house money being the 25th guy in PGA Tour U, or how do you explain the zone you were in when you went on that run and just dominated out there?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I was definitely more optimistic than some, you know, if you know, the guy who is number 11, who just barely missed out on a Korn Ferry card and had to come out into, you know, PGA Tour America's, he probably didn't feel quite as good as I did. I felt like I was definitely just trying to enjoy it and just trying to soak it all in and realize that I was playing for, you know, I was a professional. I had a job and, you know, I was just trying to have as much fun as possible. I think that was my zone, so to speak. So I think I did a pretty good job up there of keeping it light and keeping it fun, and making a lot of birdies is always fun. So I think that always helps.
Yeah, it's a good outlook. It's funny talking to pros like yourself, and it's like you take a little bit of the pressure off and you start to have more fun, and it's like, oh, then the good golf is going to follow. How's you go from America's to Korn Ferry Tour, your Rookie of the Year and Player of the Year, obviously rookie season on the PGA Tour now. How has that kind of evolution been from America's, Korn Ferry Tour to PGA Tour, and how have you as a player had to change?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've had to try and change too much. Obviously, I think the courses are a little bit different. You're not trying to shoot 30 under every week. Which I feel like, you know, there's some courses on the Korn Ferry where, you know, 15 under is going to be a great score, but then there's probably more often than not you're shooting in the mid 20s to go win. And I think just course management wise, it's a little different. Maybe not going quite as many pins. Otherwise, you'll probably walk out with a double or two. And I think kind of learning how to manage my body, my game, mental state, and pretty much everything that goes with professional golf is just, everything's just a little bit bigger on the PGA Tour. So nothing crazy, just some small adjustments and kind of continue learning and just, you know, waiting for my weeks.
No big learning curve yet on the PGA Tour, or anything surprise you about golf out there or just life as a professional golfer?
I think I realized it early on Korn Ferry that, I mean, everyone's really good. And it doesn't really matter what stage you're at, your good golf is going to probably still be really good. Now, the good golf on Korn Ferry or the PGA Tour Americas or the PGA Tour, they're all a little bit different styles, I would say. But for the most part, I mean, you're hitting good shots. You're most likely going to have a lot of opportunities. And if they go in, you're probably going to win or you're probably going to play really good. And if you're not, I mean, there's plenty of other guys that can step up every single week on the PGA Tour that can go win. I mean, there's some guys that you probably haven't heard of that could easily win this week. And then there's guys that, you know, like Scotty, and he could just run away with it as well. I mean, it's I think that's the magic of the PGA Tour, and I think that's really cool. And yeah.
How you said the styles of good golf are different. How so?
Well, like for me, PGA Tour Americas was very much just, you know, you'd find a way to get it as close or as far down there as you could, try and figure out how to get it somewhat close to the pin, just go pretty much at every pin. It didn't matter if it was tucked in the corners or not, and see if you can make the putt. A little bit on the Korn Ferry, you could get that. You probably had to play just slightly different, as in you had to play a little bit more strategic, maybe take a 3-wood off a tee, or you might have had to take a different line and then play a little bit more conservatively. PGA Tour, you can't really do that nearly as much. You can't really just chuck it at pins every single time and expect it to stop right next to it. You know, the greens are firmer, they're faster, rough's a little bit longer, so you're probably not gonna have quite as much control out of the rough as you would, you know, when it's slightly mown down or a little bit more dry or something like that. So just kind of figuring all that out, and yeah, just understanding that playing from the short grass is really important, and sometimes it's not going to be a really aggressive driver. It might be a, you know, 3-iron and then a pitching wedge or 7-iron or something like that, and just get it to the middle of the green, give yourself 20 feet and see if you can it.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
So what was the strategy for you at Birkdale? Because it felt like it was really a choose your own adventure out there. It was one of the more 100%. Compelling watches. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it was really, really cool. Cause I felt like I needed to play it slightly different after the first 2 days. I felt like I was hitting it really good. And honestly, I felt like I was hitting it good enough to be like, you know, contending a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, when you do that and then you switch up the strategy and don't play quite as well, you're like kind of kicking yourself.
Second
guessing,
but yeah.
I also think it's one of those things where it's like, if I don't hit it as good and I hit a lot of irons off the tee, I have no opportunities the entire day. So you're just playing for par, and out there when it's firmer and faster, playing for par is not very fun, and it's pretty mentally grueling. Versus some of the other guys, when you see, it's like, you know, if you're hitting it really well and you're hitting drivers and you're threading the needle, threading the bunkers and just hitting it down there to with wedges, yeah, you can kind of get a little bit more aggressive. So, yeah, it's definitely choose your own or just like kind of explore options a little bit more than most courses, which I think is really cool about Lynx Golf. You can kind of, you know, take it on a little bit more, but risk a little bit more as well. You could make some bigger numbers, but you could also, you know, shoot some really low scores, as you kind of saw.
Yeah. So you laid back the first 2 days and then kind of started sending it after over the weekend.
Yeah. There were a few holes out there that, I mean, I wouldn't say I sent it. I mean, there were like 3 holes that I changed my strategy on. But you know, that can, you know, turn from 3 par holes or possibly bogey holes to, birdie or bogey. So I was kind of sitting there thinking like, okay, I might as well just send driver, because both shots are really hard with the irons. Yeah. I'd rather hit 2 perfect 4-irons to 45 feet on the green, or would I rather hit 1 perfect drive and okay wedge or something and can a 25-footer or 20-footer.
Was that your first experience with Lynx Golf? Those two
weeks? Yeah. The last 2 weeks were really kind of my first real experience. Monday of the Scottish, me and Michael Brennan went out to North Berwick in our caddies, and we had a little match. So that was fun. We were trying to stay up and make sure that we didn't get too jet lagged. So we had to kind of tire ourselves out and go to bed pretty early. So it was a lot of fun. And man, it's a great experience. I love the creativity that you need to have around Lynx Golf. And definitely the weather plays a big factor.
Is Brendan one of the practice round staples you got going on in your first year on tour? Or who's the crew?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say Brennan's definitely one of them. Adrian Dumont, De Chassart is one. You know, there's a few guys. I think, you know, it also kind of depends on our, like, pro-am days.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, if we tee off the front or they tee off the back, it's just kind of all over. Well, most of us don't play 18 and then 9. We'll play 9 and 9. So yeah, we'll just kind of figure it out. Sometimes I just walk around and see who's going off and we'll go play. And, like I play with Maverick McNeely a decent amount. I play with Mac Meisner a decent amount and Matt McCarty, some of those other guys too. So, yeah, it's kind of a, nobody's really like, you know, a staple, I would say, but, for the most part, those are most of the guys that I'll try and see if they're available.
Yeah. McCarty's a good dude.
He's great.
You're very early in your career, but already you've just found your way on bubbles somehow. PGA Tour America. As you think about the Masters and major championships, right now you're 71st in the FedEx Cup. You know, sorry if I'm the one telling you this. Sure you're aware.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Have you kind of learned anything about yourself or pro golf in general being on the bubble so often so early?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I don't know. It's just like a magnet or something. No, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's out of my control. I think I've done a really good job so far in my career of just kind of letting it happen. And whatever happens, I know that I, you know, did everything in my possible power to succeed. And if I don't, then, you know, oh, well. But the nice part is I've done a pretty good job of not even thinking about it and just going ahead and just swinging anyways.
That's why I said sorry. Yeah. I didn't really bring it up to you.
No. It's completely fine. Because I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to block it out after now. And just
good.
Swing
good.
And just
I'm testing
try and make
you.
Some birdies.
Iron sharpens iron.
Exactly. So, I mean, if I have a good week here and solves a lot of problems, good golf solves a lot of problems. And whether you're on the bubble or you're not, you're always going to try and go win. And I don't think that changes anything.
So tell me about your first Masters. It seems like that's always the one everyone has circled. You obviously played great at the RSM Classic and got in that way. What was that week like? And then you also hit the first tee shot, right, on Thursday?
Yeah. So yeah, talk about nerves.
Take me from like Wednesday night, like up to the first tee and the nerves there.
Yeah. I mean, I think Wednesday night was kind of setting in that, you know, I was going to play the Masters really. Like, I mean, first 2 days really there, I was just like sitting there, just where do I go? What do I do? I don't want to step on anything wrong. Just like, you know, just trying to figure everything out, practice rounds, all that stuff. So it was a lot of fun. Incredible experience. There's a lot to learn out there, and I have a lot to learn still going forward. But man, it was incredible. I truly enjoyed it. And going into the first round, knowing that I was the first tee shot, I got there like 10 minutes earlier than I was, you know, that usual, kind of gave myself like an hour and 20 and, warmed up, did everything that I needed to do, got up to the putting green, 10 minutes early to go see, you know, Jack and, you know, Gary and Tom go hit the opening tee shots and all that. And it was really cool. The ceremony was really cool. And it was kind of setting in and, stepping up over the first tee shot. I was pretty nervous that, you know, that's not a very easy tee shot in the first place. So you're kind of just like, I mean, hello, like this is the Masters. Hello. Welcome to the first shot. Just might as well get it over with. Hit a really, really good three wood right down the middle of the fairway. So really happy with it. I think I hit it like 310 or whatever it was. It was, just, I mean, it was piped. I hit it and I was like, oh my goodness.
3-1. Was there any debate? You want a bigger face or anything like that?
Honestly, I don't know what I was thinking. I just grabbed the club. I think we had already planned on a 3-wood, but okay. With adrenaline and everything, I probably could have hit driver just right over the bunkers. I didn't want to risk taking driver and hitting a really good one and it going right into the face of the bunker on mm-hmm. number one. I did that in my practice round and thought I would cover it. I didn't. And it was really bad. So I was like, okay, maybe don't do that.
310's big time. It was cold that morning too.
It was cold. That's why I didn't think I could carry it, but I probably could have.
Yeah. So reflecting on your rookie campaign on the PJ Tour, there's obviously been a lot of good, like the Renaissance Club, Scottish Open, a few other really good results. And then what have you been most proud of, and what have you, you know, in your heart of hearts, maybe could have done better so far this year?
I could have done a lot better on a lot of things.
Let's unpack that.
But I would more say, like, I'm really proud of not being too down on myself. I think there are plenty of times and plenty of stretches where there's some questionable play, just, you know, missing the cut just by a few, you know, over and over again. And not getting too down. I think I understood that it's a long season. There's a lot of golf left, a lot of points out there. And yeah, just, you know, I think I was just putting a lot of pressure on myself a little bit early. But honestly, I think I did a really good job of kind of resetting and getting everything squared away. And now I feel like I'm playing for, you know, it's free rent. You know, it just feels like I'm just rolling. And if I play well, great. If not, oh well. And, you know, it's just golf. It's not really that big a deal to me. I mean, honestly, it's really not that big a deal to me. I think it's kind of a good attitude to have. It's just, you know, it's just golf. I'm going to go home. I'm going to live. It's going to be okay. It's not that big a deal whether I shoot 76 or 66. So, you know, there's a lot of other things that are good in my life. So, just going out there and just understanding that and trying to play as free as possible. If the good golf comes, then awesome.
How are you able to get away from golf on the road? I feel like that's gotta be tough. You got any, what are the outside interests?
Yeah. Last year after my first Korn Ferry win, pretty much the only thing that I bought was a gaming laptop.
Okay.
So I play some games on the road. I've got a few guys. I play with Mac Meisner a decent amount. I play with some other guys and just kind of being able to, you know, take my mind off of golf and, you know, whether do some stuff, outside, just go see a movie or just go walk around and explore is great.
So the Odyssey, man, you going to check it out?
I probably will. I was getting asked by Michael Brennan and Davis Chatfield to go see the Odyssey. So we might see,
they got one of those IMAX theaters out there.
I don't know. I've heard that there's like a special IMAX that we have to go see it on. I don't know. I think there's only a certain type. Yeah.
There's only like 50 in America. I don't know if there's going to be one in Blaine, Minnesota or not, but
I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't think so, but you never know.
So what's been the favorite city so far on tour that you visited?
For nostalgia purposes, San Diego. I used to live there. So yeah. Getting to go back there, great food, great town, great weather. Just getting to go back there and play some good golf. And yeah, that's great.
Okay. And then final question to ruffle some feathers. What's been the least favorite city?
I don't want to say anything like that. No. Favorite city? Yeah, I don't think I want to answer that.
If you don't want to answer that,
I don't think I want to answer that one.
What's a golf course you're licking your chops at to get back next year and play? You're like, I need another crack at that.
Augusta. That's number one. Obviously, I think you want to be at Augusta, but I think I was, you know, so fixated on the fact of getting into Augusta that I wasn't ready to play it really. So I think if I get another crack at it, I'll do much better next time.
Okay. I believe you. I believe you, man. And I'm thinking a lot more 66s are in your future than the 76s that you mentioned. You're playing some good golf. Keep it rolling, and we'll be rooting you on from here.
Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah. Take it easy.
Paramount Podcasts.